the studio. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. He is the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, King.
Thank you. Right? And you were a king as well for Mardi Gras.
Number of years ago.
So what can I expect from that?
It is...
I've never gone. Do I have to wear a tux?
Yes.
Okay. It I have a tux that I bought at Goodwill that was big, too big for me. I just need to go get it sized up or get a big belt. Get a cummerbund.
It's the most regal experience you will ever have.
Oh, well, I like that.
Because like me, I don't expect a whole lot of regal experiences in my life. Neither do I.
Yeah. Well, we're both married. And our wives, no matter how important we may think we are,
will always keep the queen. They will always be the queen.
They'll be the queen. And you know, last night my wife goes, "Are you taking down the trash tonight or tomorrow morning?" And I'm like, "Tomorrow morning." So
yeah, the royal treatment lasted about 2 minutes.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
2 minutes of loveliness. Yeah. So
what's always lovely?
Yeah.
That was the royal treatment.
Yeah. And you were King Comus. You were the young king at the time. They have three. They have three: King Comus, King Proteus, and King Rex.
And Rex, King of Mardi Gras.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I didn't know you were that old. Old enough to be the middle king.
I am. Yeah, 56, baby. Yeah. So, all right. So you enjoyed yourself then?
It was fun. It was okay. The Mardi Gras is a great event. The Women's Civic Club is a marvelous. Charitable organization in the community does a lot of good work. So, yes, if you're looking for something fun to do,
Mardi Gras
is the place to do.
There's another event that's going to compete with it, though, and I'm a little. They should, you know, everybody should talk, but it's, you know, hey.
Well, Mardi Gras comes the same time every year.
Every year,
it's always the Saturday before.
Right.
Fat Tuesday. Mardi Gras.
Right. So, yeah. So, but it still will have a wonderful time. I think it's at the is that the Clarion Inn now?
It is.
Okay. Now, which also brings me to another point. What's the matter?
Just I'm waiting for the next question.
The next question is the hotel. We have I have to at some point in time do a city of Frederick boundary map. Because I just saw, and you know, maybe last week, it's been a while since you and I have talked, that there is going to be a hotel, another hotel, out 85, I guess.
There are a lot of hotels out 85.
Yes, but there's going to be another new one built. And is that not in the city? How far out does the city, where does the city line go? Out 85.
And so if you're coming south on Market Street, the city line is at about where Costco is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, well, you really can. Yeah, yes, you can. You can go south on Market Street.
When you get to that part of Market Street.
Right.
And there is a little piece of the city that's south of I-70 where the Frederick News Post and the Genesis senior care facility are located. And a few, there are some townhouses and apartments down there just south of 70.
Okay.
Adjacent to 180.
Okay.
So that's it. When you go down 85, Westview, all of those hotels that are on 85 as you go south towards Buckystown, all of that office park, the movie theaters.
Mm-hmm. That's all county.
Where Bechtel used to be, that's all in the county.
Okay.
It should all be in the city, but the city didn't control that property, and those property owners didn't come to the city for
annexation
at the time that they wanted to get their developments approved. Their developments were approved by county government.
Okay.
Many years ago.
We'll talk more about that coming up on the Morning News Express. 616, the mayor is in the house. If you got a question for him, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. Back to 623 at WFMD, the mayor of the city of Frederick in the house this morning. Mayor Michael O'Connor, 301-694-9363, if you got a question for him. You can send your questions via text at the 930 WFMD Vet Urgency text line, which is the same number, 301-694-WFMD. And he's over there typing. What are you typing? Are you sending out edicts for the city?
Always.
Yeah, okay. We kind of started talking about hotels again, and obviously the one down. Look, you got the TARDIS there. Yes, the is that from is that from the Vincent Van Gogh one?
Vincent and the Doctor. Yes.
Yeah, I was the marathon of Doctor Who was on over the holidays, and I taped them
heading up to New Year's Day.
Yeah. Bothered me though, that they did not run them in order.
They ran them mostly in
order. Right. And it's still hard to find like David Tennant's Farewell, which was, very well done, and to Matt Smith's. They just didn't run it because I was like, I finally got my wife to watch them. Because she's not like when we first started watching, there was a lot of Daleks and stuff, and she hated the tenor of the Daleks' voice and things like that. And she just,
sounds like a wife I know.
Yeah. It's a little too campy, a little too, and then she goes, it's really hard to follow. And I'm like,
Tammy just calls it weird.
Yeah.
I can't watch that weird stuff.
Linda goes, the people who write this must be on drugs of some sort.
I felt that way about H.R. Puffin stuff in Lidsville.
Yes. So I got to get off of that because I could talk about Doctor Who, but it's much more interesting
sometimes.
It could have just been, they could have just put them together and when, because all of a sudden David Tennant's gone, you're thinking, oh, it's the end of David Tennant, and it was Matt Smith hanging, and I'm like, and getting ready to crash. I'm like, well, So who's your favorite Doctor?
I don't have one.
Okay. Do you like the new?
I think she's good.
I haven't watched her. Haven't watched a whole lot of Capaldi. Is that it?
No, the new one is Jodie Whittaker.
Right, but Capaldi was before.
Yeah, Peter Capaldi.
Capaldi. I haven't watched a whole lot of his yet. So, but I liked. I mean, it was like I started with David Eccleston, so I kind of like it. I like them all too. So it's kind of cool. They did if you have Netflix or
just going to talk about this, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, we aren't. But if you have Prime. Do you have Amazon Prime?
I do.
Do you watch it on your TV at all? Because you can watch, they have some behind-the-scenes things of Doctor Who that you can watch.
So. Believe it or not, I really don't have an extraordinary amount of time. I have to really pick and choose what I can make time for to
watch. What are you
doing? I DVR a bunch of stuff, but I can tell you it's flowing off of the DVR faster than I can watch what I want to watch. So,
well, do you watch any meetings about hotels in downtown Frederick? I know that there's that's still kind of a thorn in a lot of people's side, that it's not progressing and doesn't look like it's going to go any further this year as well, unless the city just wants to do what they want to do and the Plamondons say, you know what, we're going to go through with this anyway, we'll figure it out.
The challenge that we've had throughout this project is the messaging on what the public dollars were really going to be used for. And I appreciate that not everyone accepts what we're saying on this, but building in downtown Frederick, this kind of a project in downtown Frederick is a different bar you have to get over than if you were going to build a hotel out on Route 85 or someplace else. In addition to the desire for us to make sure that in putting a hotel in downtown Frederick, we're meeting the parking needs that the hotel is going to be providing, in addition to expanding some of the parking capacity in downtown Frederick. Plus, you're in a tight site in an infill area where you have a historic preservation overlay and a Carroll Creek overlay potentially at play. And all of those things add to the cost of what a project like this would be under normal circumstances. And so where we've tried to bring the sides together is that the private sector is going to make a $60 million investment in downtown Frederick. They're going to build a hotel and a conference center, and the public sector is not going to be involved in that. But in order to make that a reality, there is some public infrastructure improvements that are necessary in that built environment. And that's really where we're focusing our attention in terms of the messaging on the public money. About 22-ish million dollars of public money, more than half of that coming from city and county sources, and then we're looking for half of it from the state. We've gotten $5 million from the state already approved. We've had a challenge getting it through the Board of Public Works because the budget language still says downtown hotel and conference center, and we're trying to make it clear it is not going to support the private sector development. Will it help that private sector development? I'm not going to try and tell you it's not. But one of the needs is infrastructure, parking, and street side improvements. And that is an appropriate thing that city and county government, state government has done all the time everywhere. Every road project we build is intended to serve broader public purposes than simply building a road.
And we got to take a break, and I'll ask this question when we come back. We'll have more, and we'll get off of we'll have our conversation more about Doctor Who off the air now than when we won't. If you got a question for the mayor, you want to get in on this conversation, you can. 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. 628, Diana Gibson has a look at traffic. All right, here we go, 635 at WFMD. It's the Morning News Express, 301-694-WFMD. Julia, hang on. We'll get to your question in just a moment. We're talking to the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, and we were talking about the downtown hotel conference center and the city's part in it. And you were talking about having infrastructure done for any kind of some projects. So I'm looking at the project that's up there by the Coca-Cola plant that has, you know, we talked about that a couple months ago. When are they going to get started? Well, they've gotten started.
There you go.
They've got her knocked down. So are we looking for road improvements there as well? They're going to get some kind of road improvements that will be done by the city of Frederick?
I understand the question you're asking. They will. There's a scale involved in this as well. So, no, I think that they're going to do road improvements to support the development they're doing, whatever they need to do. There won't be additional road improvements that are putting in there because a project of that scale doesn't require the same level of public investment as the kind of project that's being done in downtown Frederick. But I would argue... I could argue that you put in a new interchange at Monocacy Boulevard, for example, and you take a whole bunch of land that's located along Route 15 that wouldn't otherwise have any value to it at all, and you suddenly make it worth a lot of money to develop, and you've made a multi-million dollar investment in an interchange. Now, that's supporting a lot of traffic and a lot of things mm-hmm. beyond, a lot of residents beyond the single parcels that are located adjacent to it. I appreciate that there is... you know, difference of opinion on this, but this is a good project for downtown Frederick. It's a project that downtown Frederick doesn't have, and so all the folks who would say, "Well, why doesn't the market just take care of it?" If there was a market for a hotel and a meeting room and meeting space that we're talking about in downtown Frederick, it would be built already. So clearly, there's another threshold that has to be climbed, and I've been in communities, small communities. My daughter was in school in Ithaca, New York. That's a city about half the size of Frederick. They have multiple downtown hotels with meeting space. I don't know what the financing structure for those were. It may not be the same as what we're talking about here, but this is a unique project, and I think the unique nature of it is what invites and requires a different kind of a conversation. I've never been the kind of person that simply believed that because you did A, you must do B, you must do C. You have to take each project on its own merits and evaluate what's really required in order to make it happen. Sometimes it warrants the investment and the interest and the discussion. Sometimes you have to simply say, nope, if you want it, you have to do it yourself. That's the debate. That's mm-hmm. the debate we have about nearly everything that we do.
Right. Yep. Oh, and I can understand it. And, you know, the old adage from other people would be, oh, well, what have you done for me lately? And that's the question that you can, I guess, that if this goes forward, that is going to be something that the city will have to answer, you know.
And I'm happy to have that conversation.
Yeah. All right. We'll have more with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, right here. And we'll talk about something that was a big issue. A question from Julia asked about it. A big issue in downtown over the holidays, and that's carriage rides. We'll talk about that. And a march coming to the city of Frederick where they asked for some funds to help them out. We'll get into that. And the mayor's going to have a meet and greet. We'll talk about that all coming up on the Morning News Express. Now let's take a look at your 930 WFMD traffic. It's the Morning News Express, 643 at WFMD, 301-694-9363. Or you can jump on the 930 WFMD Vet Urgency text line at the same number, 694-9363. All right, the Julie wrote this. It said, Bob, morning, Mayor and Mr. Mayor, is there anything going to be done about the carriage rides in Frederick? Mr. Lambert and his family are wonderful, and the rides affect people from all over, bringing revenue to Frederick. Witness the harassment of this poor family received. Wonder why they continue doing this, and their, you know, other than love for their animals in Frederick. Please handle this prior to the next holiday. And I don't know if the city can actually handle it. I don't know. I mean, what she means by handling it.
So we have met with the Lamberts already after the holiday carriage ride season, and we talked about the situations that emerged over the course of the carriage rides in downtown Frederick. The police have a difficult job in this area because they're trying to do the holiday carriage ride season, and we talked about the situations that emerged over the course of the carriage rides in downtown Frederick. The police have a difficult job in this area because they're trying to do two things. One, to protect this lawful business and their right to operate, and we don't want the Lamberts to go anywhere. We think the carriage rides are a fantastic addition to the holidays in downtown Frederick, and so we have no interest in moving them, removing them, ending them, eliminating them. We're going to work with them and do whatever we can to make sure that they can continue. The other side of what the police have to do is they have to protect the lawful right of protesters. Mm-hmm. And how you do that is you set up very clear boundaries and very clear areas where the protesters can be and can exercise their First Amendment rights. And you do that in such a way that can also protect the patrons of a lawful business. And there were a couple of circumstances. There was one notable circumstance that got written about where protesters went outside of the bounds that had been set up by the police. And they were told, if you do it again, we're going to have a problem. And they didn't do it again. So the protesters were there at all of the carriage ride activities, but there were not at every one of those carriage ride events the kind of incident that sparked the letter to the editor, that sparked a lot of the feedback that I got. So one of the things that we're looking at, and our police department and legal office are having a conversation about this, and as I said, we met with the Lamberts, is to look at the chapter of the code that authorizes the gatherings of individuals in downtown Frederick, not to restrict the rights of people to make a stand. They you absolutely have that. But to make sure that we're offering the right kinds of protections and being able to keep groups that may be on opposite sides, because the other thing that emerged was that as we got to the end of the carriage ride season and people began to hear about it, there were actually more counter-protesters showing up than there were protesters. And that created then a third group that needed to be managed by the police in order to make sure that everybody had the opportunity to do what they needed to do. So we're going to look at our procedures, and we're going to look at what we can do from a not regulation in terms of regulating the speech, but our ability to create areas where we can set people up so that we can assure that everybody's rights are respected and the opportunity for conflict is minimized.
All right. We've got a call from Tom. Tom is on the phone. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning. I'd like to ask the mayor, what are the four biggest perks and the four biggest drawbacks to being mayor of Frederick, Maryland?
The four biggest perks and the four biggest drawbacks. Thank you. We'll take your answers off air.
Yeah,
we're on air.
It'd be hard for me to just sort of quickly list four off the top of my head. I mean, the people that I work with every day are fantastic, and that's obviously one of the perks. There's a nice parking space that I get right outside of City Hall, which is kind of nice. I don't have to walk too far to get into the office. That's a nice perk. You know, this is a great community, and I grew up here. So the opportunity, it's really still surreal. I'm a year and a month or so in, and it is still a little bit surreal to wake up every day and think about the enormous responsibility that this job has in terms of guiding and leading the city. And I would consider that one of the great, great perks. A quick fourth one, the opportunity just to be a part of the process. I've been interested in local government for so long, and to be able to sit in a chair and really be able to influence that piece of it. When you really like the nuts and bolts and the making of the sausage, so to speak, it's really kind of it's to me, that's a big perk. The drawbacks of the job, I'm on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was able to take a weekend and go away with my wife and some friends, but every day you're still checking your emails, you're watching to make sure that there isn't anything that you need to respond to. That keeps you sort of constantly sort of watching. It's hard to just go out in social gatherings in Frederick and not at some point need to engage in some conversation about what's going on in the
Somebody's
city.
Somebody's
going to
notice you.
And generally, that's not a big problem. I'm happy to talk about it, but it's a, I would call it, one of the drawbacks. My wife is not nearly as interested in this stuff as I am. So when we're at dinner and
Do you make sure that she, does she go to all the big functions with you because she has to or wants to?
We have an agreement on that. So if I think that she needs to be at something, then I make a point of saying, I think this is something you need to go to. But for most of the things that she's welcome to come to, the decision is entirely all hers.
Good man. You are learning on the job. All right, hang on. We got to take a break. We'll have more with the we'll wrap it up with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, coming up on the Morning News Express. But first, let's get a look at your 930 WMD traffic. Here's Diana Gibson. Let's wrap up our conversation with the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, here on Free Talk 930 WFMD. All right, a little rapid fire here because I know we're a little short on time. And I want to talk to you about the story that's big front newspaper this morning about the Frederick Women's March that's going to be held, I guess, this weekend, third annual. They came to the city looking for public funds to hold it. And I think that your response was pretty good, talking about whether or not you should actually start getting involved with things like this. Because, again, that's another one where if you start with one group, then everybody's going to come and ask for money from the city of Frederick.
We have articulated MOUs with a number of organizations. Those are the big ones that result in street closures and those kinds of things. So, I think what I want to create to the greatest extent possible is a level of consistency in how we deal with the kinds of requests that come in. We have agreements with the Downtown Frederick Partnership for the events that they do. We have agreements with the Celebrate Frederick for the events that they do. The marathon, when they've wanted to close streets for there, they pay for the public services that they get. The same is true, has been true in the past for the high wheel bicycle race. So there's a policy for how we evaluate the extent of the impact and then try and sort of price city services accordingly. There are things that the city can simply provide as a function of being a city and people are going to come into downtown Frederick, but other events create other challenges that we just have to be mindful of that when we're trying to determine where we're going to place free services.
The other thing that I've been hearing from people, and that is the appearance of more police presence in downtown Frederick, that people are saying that they don't see it as much as they would like to. Now, I'm just saying that's what I'm hearing, that they're saying, hey, we need more people out there, or the appearance of more people out there.
And I don't disagree. And it ebbs and flows. Our police are really trying to look at the sort of the data driven policing. So really being cognizant of what the statistics are telling us about the need. Certainly downtown Frederick, though, is an area where that constant police presence is both required and demanded in many respects by our visitors and our residents. It's there. Is it always there when people are looking for it? It's a challenge of manpower. We're constantly looking at ways to, on an annual basis with the budget, of how do we add police officers. We're just getting ready to start another academy today. So the constant need to bring personnel in, that requirement, that need is never going to go away. And our job, and I work with the police department on a regular basis, we're certainly all in the same communication chains when people see things, is how do we make sure that presence and that visibility in downtown Frederick is adequate.
30 seconds you got for the mayor meet and greet, so to speak. You have like a little conversation and you go out and let people, a little round table discussion with the mayor.
Once a month, we've been doing this since the beginning. Once a month on the last Friday of the month, we go out to some location around Frederick. We've moved these all around city to just hear people's concerns. People can sign up online for a slot, or they can just show up at the venue and sit down. We try and give folks, 5 to 10 minutes to hear their concerns and talk about what's on their mind. We had one scheduled for this coming Friday, but we have to postpone it because of a conflict. So we'll be back in February. I wanted to put in a quick plug for the last of our strategic planning community meetings this evening at the Burke Street Center, where the Boys and Girls Club are over in the off Jefferson Street. This is the fifth community engagement session we've had on the strategic plan the city is in the process of developing. So we certainly invite the public to come out to that as well. That's tonight at 7 o'clock.
The mayor of the city, Frederick, appreciate your time. Thank you so much. 656.